You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 11th, 2022, President Joe Biden in a news conference today warning that Russia will pay a, quote, severe price if they use chemicals. I said in a news conference, actually it was an interview he was giving with CNN at the time, following some announcements he did make regarding additional economic moves against Russia. The U.S. has not presented any evidence that Russia plans to use chemical weapons in Ukraine. The White House, especially Press Secretary Jen Psaki, has been warning the weapons could be used in the conflict. We know they've used them before. But she also says they might also just manufacture a false flag operation that uses them. And she said, now China seems to be overly concerned about it. Well, the fact is, they have been used, apparently, in Russia in the past. Whether or not they're going to be in Ukraine, we're not sure at this point. By the way, a new poll indicates a majority view China as a greater threat than Russia. This is a Wall Street Journal survey just released showing very little support among Americans for direct U.S. intervention to stop the Russian war in Ukraine, though Americans do support providing aid to them in weapons and humanitarian. But when asked which nation poses the greatest economic threat to the U.S., 73% said China. Only 14% said Russia. Another 8% just didn't know. President Biden is stating that we believe, and actually he says we know, Putin's war against Ukraine will never be a victory. He'd hoped to dominate Ukraine without a fight. He's failed. Coming up later in the next segment, you're going to hear from the Ukrainian ambassador who says, everybody thought Russia would just come in and roll over us. But we are not going to give up. We will not surrender. We'll continue fighting until the last one is standing. That is not what Russia counted on, obviously. Zelensky says Biden has agreed to increase sanctions against Russia. I just don't understand the incremental effort to add sanctions. He's referring to Biden saying that the U.S. and other countries will move to end normal trade relations with Russia. Well, I thought we'd already done that. I don't know what they mean by this, but here's the deal. It's fine to make statements that if you do this, we're going to hit you with this. But then once they do that, don't just start saying, and we're going to add this, and we're going to add that, and we're going to just do it all at one time. The Russian people are going to pay. And a lot of them do not want this carried out either. They're not really in favor of it. Thousands have been arrested, jailed, many of the mothers probably never to be seen again because they're protesting Putin's decision. We do have a bipartisan group of lawmakers. We're able to get to the Ukraine-Polish border on a special ability to see in person. A New York Democrat, Meek, said, it's horrific. It made me and a number of others almost want to break down in tears. They were in Poland watching women and children crossing in for safety while other members stay behind to continue the fight in Ukraine. The World Health Organization revealing that Russian forces have attacked at least 24 healthcare centers in Ukraine. 24. The Russian Economic Ministry is going to make us pay any country that has a business inside Russia. That's understandable. They're going to go ahead and take all those businesses like McDonald's and others that are there, and they're going to nationalize them, take control of it. No surprise there. You could always expect that. By the way, the latest analysis about how much all of the oil gas increases, which, of course, according to the Biden administration, is blamed simply on Russia invasion. Nothing Biden is doing. All these inflation rates are costing the American, average American household, according to Moody's Analytics, almost $300 in extra expenses. And it's not going to be going down. We'll be getting into that and more with Russia-Ukraine when we continue.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So there's a growing concern that Russian forces, which have been largely stalled until now, are starting to make some advances toward Kyiv. They've moved ahead several miles in the last 24 hours. And that long convoy, the 40-mile convoy, according to new satellite images, is no longer just stuck by the side of the road. It is broken up. It is moving around. It is redeploying. And this is consistent with what U.S. officials are saying, that Russia is now actively trying to surround Kyiv, and they believe that this operation to encircle the capital could take 1 to 2 weeks, with not just using troops from that convoy, but bringing in troops from other areas.
That's a report on MSNBC on the latest advances of the Russian forces in Ukraine. The word today from the Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby is that Russia has started to make ground in its attempts to advance on the capital city of Kyiv. He adds their Russian bombardment and shelling going on quite violently. We do assess that the Russians are beginning to make more momentum on the ground, especially from the east. The news comes as defense officials have been sounding the alarm for weeks now that Putin will try to encircle the city to overthrow the democratically elected government and then install a puppet regime of his own. At last check, at last report, Zelensky is still in the capital in Kyiv. He said, "You can find me. I'll be right here." You have to give the man credit for not taking money and running long before now. He has stayed with the people. He ran on a campaign saying, "Elect me, we'll put an end to all the corruption that exists in our government." And they did elect him. Whether or not he had gotten rid of some of the corruption and was actively working on it, I can't tell you. But I can tell you, this measure of the man that says, "I'm going to stand there even as Russian tanks continue to advance upon our city," it says a lot, not only about his character, but the character of Ukrainians. And in fact, the Ukrainian ambassador in the U.S. said, we have no plans to surrender.
Ambassador, I'd like to start with the city of Mariupol. We were just talking to the deputy mayor. They're trapped, they can't leave, and they're dying. What are the options? Are there any on the table that you're hearing?
Thank you very much. I wish I could say good morning, but unfortunately for 16 days, this is the phrase I rarely use. And we woke up today again to news that during this day in Ukraine, Mariupol continues to be encircled completely, shelled at the same all the time. And for 3 days now, Russia denying any type of humanitarian corridors, which has been a priority now for President Zelensky and all the team back home, to essentially deliver food, medical supplies, and some water, so we can stop, you know, this I wouldn't even call it humanitarian tragedy, war crime that is being done against Mariupol, but essentially against any Ukrainian city that is under attack right now.
And in fact, to add to her point, a Ukrainian official is claiming, one in eastern Ukraine, that a Russian missile has hit a care facility for the disabled. Everything that's been coming out saying they are indiscriminately shooting rockets and missiles into civilian areas, into schools, no kids are probably in the school at this point anyway, into hospitals where, yes, there are people, and any escape routes in some cases, a ceasefire would be set up, and then they unleash a barrage upon those trying to escape. Again, back to remarks of the Ukrainian ambassador.
If you go back to the beginning of the war, even before that, many people said the Kyiv would fall in 24 hours, that Ukrainians will not fight. I mean, not even talking about the Russian fantasies that somehow they will be met with flowers. It's 16 days, and we're in this David against Goliath fight, being much smaller country, but we are the country that is defending our territory. We're peaceful, we never attacked anyone, we just lived and, you know, planned our peaceful development, how we can make a better life for our citizens. We were brutally attacked, we're defending our homes, and regardless of what they're doing to us, the resolve is there, and everyone is committed to defending our country. So I believe morally we have won already.
We have won already, morally. Well, of course, the pressure continues upon Putin and Russia, and that in turn means his people. His people will suffer because when they have a lot of their goods and their supplies shut off, you're going to see concerns about starving in Russia. Ukraine is a major source of agriculture products for Russia. Russia is now at a point, though, that if it does not actually get into Ukraine and it falls short, which President Biden said a little bit earlier today, saying they're not going to win, and if this resolve of Ukrainians holds up, then you're going to see the pain among the Russian citizens. And many of them do not want to be in Ukraine. I'm looking at a piece again from my Good Morning Slap in the Face, Good Morning Larry from the New York Times. And talking about the sanctions, say they have potential to create longer-term problems for Putin's regime. He said one Kremlin spokesman described them as an economic war, talking about what's happened so far, cutting off Russian banks from large parts of the international financial markets, which will make it tougher for Russian families and businesses to take out loans, use credit cards, make purchases. We're not talking about the oligarchs. We're talking about the common Russian citizen. Then, of course, you have the list of Western companies pulling out of Russia. McDonald's, Starbucks, Goldman Sachs being the first financial institution to pull out. They're going to reduce economic growth in Russia, cause public frustration for years to come. Now, McDonald's had said it would continue to pay its Russian employees, but how are they going to get the money? How are you going to get it to them? And, of course, numerous companies have stopped exporting goods to Russia, which will complicate manufacturing and sale of cell phones, cars, and other heavy tech items. Russian officials have been very fearful of the effect on stock prices. They halted trading on Moscow stock market 11 days ago, have yet to resume it. The economic damage of the value of the Russian currency, the ruble, declining 40% since the war began. 40%. That's documented. Some say it's really, a ruble is now less than a penny in U.S. currency. This article points out there are a couple of other sanctions have not been imposed. That is, one, Europe. Europe continues to buy large amounts of oil and natural gas from Russia. Now, today, some of these new sanctions that Biden said were putting into effect, I do not know if those sanctions include Europe at this point. And by that, I mean all of it. And there are two large companies that are still operating in Russia, Hyatt and Marriott, still running hotels. Citibank, Bridgestone Tire, Philip Morris also continuing. Halliburton still operating oil fields in Russia, despite a specific appeal from a top Ukrainian official. Apparently, New York Times says it asked the Hyatt, Marriott, Halliburton, and others to explain why they're still operating in Russia. And at the time of the printing of the story, they did not do so, but some did express shock or horror about the war, but no explanation. And, of course, it's all coming back on you as well, isn't it? Higher oil and gas prices are going to raise the cost of energy-intensive components, steel, cement, plastics used all across industry. Everything for toothpaste, toothbrush, microwaves, medical equipment, much less the cost to deliver them, be a ship, plane, bus. The senior VP at transportation and logistics company Ryder said with energy prices going up the way they are, people are going to get real nervous. Small business is going to hurt more and more. But in the midst of all of this, you have the progressives that are actually kind of happy. That's right. Because, again, it is an effort to reduce reliance on oil. That's what they want you to do. They want you to learn to live without it. Just imagine. Remember VP Harris? Listen to this.
Imagine a future. The freight trucks that deliver bread and milk to our grocery store shelves, and the buses that take children to school and parents to work. Imagine all the heavy-duty vehicles that keep our supply lines strong and allow our economy to grow. Imagine.
Imagine. Imagine. Green pie in the sky. So see, in a way, they're very happy. Because the Biden administration is not moving one bit yet to sell new oil and gas leases on federal lands, nor opening up those that had been closed the day he came into office. They're blaming it all still on Russia, Ukraine. Imagine, well, Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, says, put this in your pipe and imagine.
Just what Americans need is more imagination from Democrats. Democrats reimagined the border over the last year. We went from a secure border to complete chaos. We went, in 1 year's time, we saw 2 million illegal immigrants enter the border as a result of the Democrats' reimagination on the border. Democrats reimagined energy policy. 1 year's time, we went from $2 gas to $4 gas. Actually, it's $7 in California. We went from energy independence to the president of the United States begging OPEC to increase production, talking with the Saudis, talking with Venezuela, talking with Iran now. Democrats reimagined inflation. We went from stable prices to a 40-year high inflation rate. Democrats reimagined science. For a year, five-year-olds had to wear a mask in school. That is, of course, when they let kids actually go to school.
But that has been their thought and their plan from the beginning. Let's hear a few clips of Joe Biden when he's on the campaign trail and he was pushing the green pie in the sky theory.
If we don't stop using fossil fuels, we're all dead. doing away with any subsidies for fossil fuels, number one. Number two, holding them liable for what they have done, particularly in those cases where you're underserved neighborhoods and you know the deal, okay? And by the way, when they don't or when they're deliberate, we'll put them in jail.
Kiddo, I want you to just take a look, okay? You don't have to agree, but I want you to look in my eyes. I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel, and I am not going to cooperate with you, okay?
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
We're going to eliminate it. And his energy czar for the climate, John Kerry, has said we won't be needing any fossil fuels by maybe 2030. He told a UN security meeting yesterday, we're committed to increasing U.S. funding to help battle climate crisis. Their imagination is if they're all drinking the same nasty stuff, smoking the same nasty stuff, and it all comes out in a pipe dream that they want to make reality. Jim Jordan, congressman of Ohio, Republican, says when you start looking at that, you've got to consider that's not the way it works.
What Americans need is more imagination from Democrats. Democrats reimagined the border over the last year. We went from a secure border to complete chaos. We went, in 1 year's time, we saw 2 million illegal immigrants enter the border as a result of the Democrats' reimagination on the border. Democrats reimagined energy policy. 1 year's time, we went from $2 gas to $4 gas. Actually, it's $7 in California. We went from energy independence to the president of the United States begging OPEC to increase production, talking with the Saudis, talking with Venezuela, talking with Iran now. Democrats reimagined inflation. We went from stable prices to a 40-year high inflation rate. Democrats reimagined science. For a year, five-year-olds had to wear a mask in school. That is, of course, when they let kids actually go to school.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I would argue that America needs a little less imagination from Democrats and maybe a little common sense. I mean, think about it. When you defund the police, you probably shouldn't be surprised when you get more crime. When you don't prosecute bad guys, you probably shouldn't be surprised when you get more crime. When rioters and looters for a full summer are called peaceful protesters, probably shouldn't be surprised when you get more crime. When the chairman of the Judiciary Committee says Antifa is a myth, you probably shouldn't be surprised when you get more crime. We get rid of bail, probably shouldn't be surprised when you get more crime. When you enact dumb policies, imagine this, you get bad results.
Imagine that. Congressman Jim Jordan again, for all of this green pie in the sky of the Democrats saying, just imagine, as VP Harris was saying the other day, a day where everything's running on electric. Of course, they don't tell you how it runs on electric, where you're going to get the electricity. There's a story that just I've been kind of following today, and I haven't had a chance to get to, so it's a good time right now to do it. And that is out of Abu Dhabi, the Middle East, United Arab Emirates. They're indicating that Gulf oil producers might come to the rescue as oil prices climb. This, of course, would be putting us back in the hands of OPEC. The group of 23 oil-producing countries, including Russia, that coordinates oil policies, which have a role in determining prices on the market. But Western nations have now placed sanctions on Moscow's energy exports. That could lead Russia's seaborne oil exports to shrink to a third of their level before the invasion. And that would drive the price of barrel even higher. Well, the Gulf nations of the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia are the only countries in OPEC with enough spare oil production, capacity anyway, to add to the market. Now, they've been saying we're not going to pump any more crude for Europe and the U.S. at this point. And in fact, one word had come that Saudi Arabia wouldn't even bother taking Biden's call. But earlier this morning, the United Arab Emirates minister, energy minister, says we are committed to helping out, and oil prices started to increase and get better. I mean, the stock prices got better. But we're seeing right now oil prices still $130 a barrel. $130 a barrel. So at this point, OPEC is saying there's really no actual shortage of supply, so we can get more back into play. To some extent, they can. But damn it, the point is we should not have to be relying on OPEC. Not in this country. We were an energy exporter. We were self-reliant until Biden came in. We could do that again. I remember I was in Houston in the 70s when OPEC came into being, and I remember interviewing at that time former Texas Governor Connally, and he was there talking about OPEC and everything OPEC was going to be doing and so forth. And I said, how am I supposed to, and this is on camera, how should I address you, governor or former VP? Or maybe I just should say oil lobbyist. Ooh, that got him angry. But we should not be relying on any other country or group of countries when we have the resources we have. Coming up, a story that is going to be difficult for some of you to hear. University of Pittsburgh apparently carrying out some fetal tissue research, some harvested from babies born alive. And the National Institutes of Health is covering everything up. Stand by. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This next story will probably alarm a lot of you and upset you and anger you and depress you, but you need to know it. My guest is Sam Dorman, contributor to The Federalist, writes for numerous organizations. Sam, glad to have you on board, sir.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Well, I was looking at a piece you wrote that for The Federalist, pointing out that Biden's National Institutes of Health is refusing to answer congressional questions about what the University of Pittsburgh is doing in experiments on aborted babies. First of all, right, we've got a story of that maybe a lot of folks didn't know such experiments were underway there, and then we've got what I would say is a cover-up. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so just to go back and kind of explain the controversy, last fall, David Dalyden and Judicial Watch obtained documents from the NIH just showing what Pitt was. It was showing an application by Pitt to receive federal funding for this program where they basically wanted to develop what they said was a pipeline of organs for fetal tissue. And so they were going to use use that for research, and they have a human tissue bank there. The wording in that application caused both congressional Republicans and physicians to express concern that they were operating or they were extracting organs from fetuses that were either alive or just died. And then specifically the congressmen were talking about how the wording indicated that they violated federal fetal tissue trafficking law. So that's that was last fall. And the letter that congressional Republicans, is about 100 lawmakers, they sent to NIH and DOJ. They asked for protocols, you know, surrounding the abortions. They asked for how the whoever was doing the abortions. There's still some controversy over that. That whoever was doing that, how they achieved ischemic time, which refers to the amount of time after blood flow is cut off to a particular part of the body. So Pitt was saying that it's not. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and that time frame is critical if the tissue is to be of value. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So researchers and medical professionals will tell you that you have to have fresh tissue, you know, if you want to get good results. So that's why it makes sense. Without them even saying that, I think it makes sense for any of these fetal tissue research programs for them to to try and get fresh tissue. Yeah.
All right. Let me. There's a lot to unpack there. Let me help break it down some, if you don't mind. I mean, obviously, you know it very well, and I just want to try to make it very clear to the audience. First of all, the babies were coming from women who consented. Correct? Tell me the background on that.
That hasn't been researched that much. The law firm that Pitt hired to do an internal investigation.
When you say it, are you saying Pitt or it? You're talking about University of Pittsburgh.
Yes, University of Pittsburgh, which I usually just call Pitt. So they had a law firm come in and investigate and basically found that there are some problems with the forms, the consent forms, but in general, Pitt had obtained consent. UPMC. So UPMC is University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, and that's where the abortions are thought to take place.
So these are women who were at least 24 weeks gestation, had experienced miscarriages or already decided they were going to have an abortion, or women at 25 to 42 weeks whose infants were stillborn or died from natural causes soon after. So they were consenting that you can take the baby, whatever they might call it, but it's still a baby, and you can take tissue from it. And in fact, then based on that, in some cases, the NIH the lawmakers are demanding NIH deal with what were you doing harvesting kidney cells and tissue from fetuses with beating hearts?
Right. So they're asking that. And the other thing is that if you alter the abortion in order to obtain some of the things that they were mentioning in the application, so if they're altering the abortion to obtain suitable tissue, then that could be a violation of federal anti-trafficking law. So that was – and I think that was the main concern in the congressional letter. There was some reporting before
that. Well, of course, I have a lot more than just congressional concerns of violating the law. I go back to God's law and moral law. I just don't get this. I don't get it, and I don't know why the University of Pittsburgh would allow itself to be part of this, or the board of the University of Pittsburgh would allow it to continue. But we do want more answers, and they're blocking it. They're basically hiding the information. If you're hiding something, I want to know why.
Yeah, it's interesting how much or how little information has come out of this. You had Pitt said that they were going to hire an external firm, and this firm, Hyman Phelps and McNair, they ended up doing a report, but they didn't investigate UPMC, which is where, you know, all the questions are about how these abortions are performed and how they obtain the tissue in a certain way. So that happened, and then DOJ hasn't really provided much information, and I think NIH was the biggest agency that people were looking out for because, you know, they're the ones that provided the funding for this project, and NIH just basically deferred to Pitt's own investigation, which has been criticized by, you know, members of Congress.
Which is not an investigation. I mean, that's that's letting the convicts run the prison. That's not giving me an investigation.
Yeah, it was. It didn't even. Like I said, it didn't even investigate UPMC. I think there's also even questions about whether or not Pitt or HPM, so Hyman, Phelps, and McNair, whether they actually went deep enough in examining Pitt's procedures and the way that they obtained the tissue.
I want to stress that every time you say Pitt, I want to make sure everybody understands. University of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Would you do me a favor responding that way? Because I don't want them to hear just an it and they're not sure who it is. University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah. University of Pittsburgh, yes. So you have the University of Pittsburgh and then the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, which is affiliated, although the University of Pittsburgh claims that the two are completely separate. Or separate to a substantial extent, I guess. But
In other words, they're washing their hands of it. That it's a separate center, has nothing to do with it. Oh, it's under our auspices. We probably have money, and I say auspices. I'm also saying you might provide office space. We might have money, things of this nature, but we really have nothing to do with it. Is that basically their stance?
They're trying to separate themselves from the medical center, but the problem is that their own statements point to them being involved with the medical procedures, or at least them having knowledge of the medical procedures. Like when they talk about ischemia time, which, like I said, refers to cutting off the time after cutting off blood flow to an organ or a particular part of the body. So there's that, and there's other things within their application that have raised concerns about how much they actually know about the medical procedures. And obviously there's an issue with conflict of interest because they're trying to obtain tissue, suitable tissue for research. So if they're involved in the medical procedures, then they're obviously, you know, they're created. There's an incentive for them to get better tissue.
You're listening to Sam Dorman with the Federalist, the contributor to the Federalist. So in your view, is the University of Pittsburgh just clueless as to what was going on, or is deep in knowledge but just does not want exposure?
No, I mean, it's hard to believe that they have no knowledge of what's going on. I mean, UPMC, which is the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, and the University of Pittsburgh both share key staff. So, for example, Dr. Beatrice Chen, who has served as the medical director of Planned Parenthood Western Pennsylvania, and there's some relationship between the medical center and Planned Parenthood as well. She also is a physician at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. She serves as, I think it's professor and some faculty position within the University of Pittsburgh. And then she's also sat on the University of Pittsburgh's Institutional Review Board, right, which reviews the ethics of these different projects. And a whistleblower, Ryan Navarro.
Well, where are the ethics? Where are the ethics when they may have harvested organs from live babies?
Well, there are people within the state and outside the state who are just saying, you know, even if this isn't illegal, it's still something that offends the conscience. And so that's, you know, it's unclear how much the legislature can actually do about that. You know, they'd have to alter the laws. Right. But this is something that Natalie Mihalik, for example, the Republican who announced the investigation into Pitt, she said that regardless of this, this is not just a review of whether or not the University of Pittsburgh is complying with the law.
One other thing before we go, and you've only got 30 seconds, and that is, from your work, is University of Pittsburgh the only such university involved in this kind of research?
No, it's there's known activities. There are tissue banks at other universities, so at least University of Washington. There's some in California, and then in Texas as well.
All right. Well, you've awoken a lot of us to something we needed to know, and I appreciate it. And demands need to continue on the National Institutes of Health to come up with some answers. Sam, I really appreciate you taking time to be with us, sir.
Sure. Thank you, Larry.
You bet. Sam Dorman for the Federalist. Yeah, we need to know a lot more. I tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, let's do something entirely different, something really light to close out the weekend. Stand by. I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottner Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottner, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate. 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or go to rottler.com. Rottler Pest Solutions. It's been a
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know, in the news business for the decades I've been in, it's pretty strange how some stories play out and the reaction of the audience. And some things that are not really news also become strange in the way it's received or perceived by the audience. Let me give you two examples. One recent, one long time ago. Let's begin with the one long ago. Some of you might recall Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding, ice skaters in competition. On January 6, 1994, Nancy was attacked in what they said was the biggest sports scandal in history. The hitman was a guy who used a collapsible baton to strike her leg. And they were contracted by the ex-husband and skating rival Tanya Harding. And we were going for days upon days about the latest on Nancy Kerrigan, her recovery, the charges against Tanya Harding and the others. Every day there was something new we were reporting. There came a day we did not do any story. None. A lady calls me up and says, "Why didn't you report today on what's happening with Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding?" I said, "Well, ma'am, nothing today happened." "Well, then why didn't you report that nothing had happened today?" Ah, see, yeah, now you got it. Now you understand I could sometimes be in a no-win situation. So now to the current issue. As I'd mentioned to you previously and have put up on both the Larry Connors USA radio page, Facebook, and just my personal Larry Connors Facebook, that we have been banned from live streaming by YouTube. Well, not only that, we were apparently having trouble getting actual access to Facebook from that point forward. Now, I don't know if they're tied together or not. I don't know. Still haven't figured it out. But then when we were trying to find out, could we post one day? Well, I wrote one word, testing. I put the word testing on both my personal page and on Larry Connors USA Facebook. One word, testing. My God, both of those got more responses than anything else I'd put up over the recent time. Testing on just the Larry Connors personal page, 83 comments, 83. Oh, there's some were having fun. Tim wrote, "Breaker 1-9. Another one, 1-2-3. Another one, "Let it rip, Larry. Another one, "You have now been banned for spreading inaccurate information about the importance of testing." I like that one. So I wrote testing. Another responder said, "Check." Another one said, "Check, check, 1-2-3, check, check, check." Even my brother decided to join and saying, "Reading you loud and clear." I said, I mean, God, all I did was put up testing. And then another one put up Kenny Rogers, the gambler. Another one gave me a B+ for writing the word testing. Another one said, "Welcome to Pornhub, Larry." Ah. Then another one, 12, tap, 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 McFly. You know that story. Anyway, and on, check one. Then another 1-2-3, 4-5-6, someone else added. Another one said, "You're good." And then the said, "That's the sound engineer's favorite open mic gag. Testes, 1-2-1-2. Well, that, I mean, and said, another one, "You haven't been banned yet for saying testing?" No, I have not been banned. I finally have both Facebook accounts back. I'm still going through these. I mean, I said there are 85 different comments. I know this is going to create more. Somebody put up a picture of Trump saying, "I probably test on average once a day or more, and on average I test every 2 days, 3 days." when he was president, followed by someone saying he's tested more than anyone multiple times a day. And so it goes. Well, it's fun. I'm glad to have all of you out there paying attention one way or the other. See, that was always a thing sometimes on TV or radio. If you say something that it's so outrageous, maybe you'll find out really who's listening. If you say something really stupid, I know I do that way often, so it becomes normal. I got it. But I do appreciate your support over the years. Many of you have been with me for decades with TV and now in radio since 2014, and I love this program. I love bringing you Larry Connors USA every day. I really do. I enjoy it, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else at this time and what's happening with this world. I just pray every day that God give me the guidance, wisdom to say what's needed at the right times. And I thank you. I thank you for listening. I thank you for sharing this program with others. I am still amazed at the growth of this program, and we really don't have outside advertising. It's you. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.